This is Coast Community Radio. KMUN Astoria, 91.9. KTCB Tillamook, 89.5. CoastRadio.org. Wherever you are in the world. We'll give you a shout out in a minute. First, I want to let everybody know that the weather is warm and cloudy. And there'll be some drizzle. And that's the way it's going to be. 70 down to 60. And rain and clouds for the rest of the week and into the weekend and beyond. It is 2:58. Whoa! Almost time for Arts Live and Local. Shout out to my good friends in Squamish and Seashelt and East Side and West Side, New York, Wyoming, Long Beach, wherever you may roam. Have a dedication right now. I want to send this out. Well, I've got one piece of music, and it's going to go out for a lot of people. Ani put together a fantastic playlist, and this one is for Laura. We're thinking of you here at KMUN. Laura used to be a programmer and did a great job. Ani was on the radio too many times. It also goes out for a happy birthday to Sarah and to a fifth-year memorial to Royal. Here's Blind Pilot. Yeah. Just one. From Blind Pilot, Israel Nebeker song. And yeah, this is one big family we've got here. So, speaking of family, we got some folks from the family right here in the room with us. Three of them, as a matter of fact. And I am absolutely delighted. And yes, I've seen all of them. None of them are virgins. Radio virgins, that is. Somebody, yeah, I know. So somebody got a little huffy. You didn't say radio. Oh, okay, sorry. No, it was just a joke, but it's true. I have three artists who are working on a collaborative, and I'm going to just let you know the beginning, and then I'm going to let them take off, and then I will inquire when I don't understand what they're talking about. So, Dawn Stetzel. Hi, Dawn.
Hi.
And Jessica Schleif.
Hi, Carol.
Whom you can hear, is it every other Tuesday morning?
Every other Tuesday.
Right here on In Season with Teresa Retzloff. And Jesse Jones. Hi, Jesse.
Hi, Carol.
Great. So, AVA, that's the Astoria Visual Arts, the AVA Center for the Arts, is honored to present Fugitive, three artists in collaboration. And this is happening next week on Saturday evening during Astoria Art Walk. Jessica Schleif, Jesse Jones, and Dawn Stetzel. Using the word fugitive as a prompt, the three women connected through walking, dialoguing, and gathering discarded objects from North Coast waterways and trash piles. So far, they seem to be with me, so I think we're on
track. We survive.
Yeah. The discarded material became a science lab and a basis for the collaborative installation. Each artist brings her own practice to the task of creating sculpture and meaning from limitless garbage and marine debris. And we have a meditation going on right here. So now tell us the true story. What happened? how did this happen? And what is it that happened? And first, let me ask you a logistical question. This is going to be next Saturday night during Art Walk. Mm-hmm. Are you actually setting things up then or beforehand?
We will be setting things up beforehand. We have a week to install in the gallery. The three of us, the AVA reached out to me and gave a month and said, can you do something? Can you make something happen? This okay. was, I don't know how many months ago, mm-hmm. 5 months ago, 6 months ago, mm-hmm. maybe. And I came up with a concept of doing something around the word fugitive. And then I reached out to Dawn, who I really didn't know very well, but loved her work from the Recology show.
Yes.
Hadn't looked at her website. Oh, hadn't really understood the depth of her work and her as an artist.
Right.
I reached out to Dawn. I reached out to Jesse Jones because I knew her work with the Surf Rider Foundation and the last 4 years of water testing and knew about her history and some of the things that she'd been saving from that. And with the idea of fugitive, a word that came to me from Margaret Teary as a dyer's term, that a dye would be fugitive, that it would be elusive, maybe changing, maybe washing out some. Let me read you the definition of fugitive.
Yeah.
As a noun, a person who is fleeing from prosecution, intolerable circumstances. As an adjective, having taken flight or run away, fleeting, transitory, elusive, wandering, roving, or a vagabond.
Mm-hmm.
So I reached out to these women and said, hey, would you like to each bring our own practices together and make something happen in the gallery for September?
Nice.
And
So originally, when you were asked, it wasn't necessarily, it could have been just you.
Yeah.
Okay. But you decided, I like that.
So much richer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So much richer.
And for full disclosure, of course, when did I meet you, Dawn? Right here in this studio.
Yes.
When
yes.
you and...
Sean Barrow.
Sean came in because of what...
Yeah, beautiful
Jessica
show.
Jessica just
Inspirational
mentioned.
Inspirational show.
Yeah, that was the first core. See, isn't that... Coastal Oregon.
Artist residency. Through Recology.
Recology's in there
In
somewhere.
Partnership
and
with
actually,
ABA.
Yeah, and someone is going to be coming in. The new core artists will be coming back. But yeah, that was a phenomenal time. And I've had others on since then, too. So that was real. When was that? How many years ago?
That was the inaugural show, I believe, in 2016.
Okay.
Is when they started the program.
Okay. Yeah. It was great. Started it here. Of course, they've done this kind of stuff in San Francisco, too. So.
Yes.
And Jesse, I know you from way back for other, I'm mentioning March Tierney and Lois Morton, blah, blah, blah. Again, family, extended family. What, that's kind of a surprise to me because I don't really know what you do.
Tell us about it, Jesse.
What do you do? And then we'll see how it, what's that new, it's not a new word, but the word that's everybody's using, intercepting or... is a word that they're using when things come together, how it all works together. Tell us.
Well,
intersectional.
I was like, what's she saying?
Yes,
intersecting,
that's it.
Intersectional.
Thank you.
Like
See,
it, Carol.
That's why I like having younger people around. Intersectional. I've never used it. This will be my first time. Go ahead, Jesse.
Maybe we met in the music community because I'm a musician on the side.
Right.
But
Bossa Nova, I remember
Bossa
that.
Bossa Nova. Yeah. But I've been working with the conservation community for a number of years in Astoria, Clatsop County, and Columbia County.
What does that mean?
I worked for a while with the doing conservation work with the Clatsop.
Crest.
Well, I worked with the watershed councils.
Okay.
Yeah, I did that. And before then, I was working with the Soil Water Conservation District.
Okay. What are you your background's in science, I presume?
I'm not a scientist, but I did study natural resource policy and community development.
Okay.
And for the last few years, I have been working as a contractor and doing conservation work, but also now I do work with Oregon Shores Conservation Coalition.
Yes.
And I've been volunteering for a number of years with the Surf Rider Foundation.
Whoa. Okay. Now, Jessica, you said you thought of Jesse because...
Well, Jesse, talk about your, now I'm going to be Carol. Jesse, tell us about your work with the Surf Rider Foundation. This was what really inspired me and the thought of this.
Good, because I have
Tell me about it. Tell us about it.
My saving and squirreling.
I think I and no one else knows what that is even so.
What Surf Rider Foundation is. Well, really, really quickly, Surf Rider Foundation has been around for a few decades now. They started in San Clemente, California, and a group of surfers were experiencing some less than desirable water in their ocean and started working with a community in the city, the municipality there, to help to clean that up.
Wow.
So they are a group of activists that now work actually nationwide and worldwide, and they have many programs, but the program that I got involved in volunteering with was their Blue Water Task Force program. And what that is we train volunteers to collect samples of near ocean water and some estuary water, and then we process that in a quote-unquote lab, a very small lab, and we post our results for how much bacteria we're finding in the water and if there are Enterococcus is really what we're testing for.
Okay, and where does the squirreling come in?
And so the squirreling comes
she's
in.
So in her testing, she was using plastic pipettes, she was using plastic containers to have the water samples in, and Jesse, being Jesse, could not throw any of these away, so her entire basement was full of them, and she has created work from these things.
Okay.
5 years worth of collecting these items.
I see.
And building.
I see.
Building things with these
okay.
items.
Okay. Now I yep, see yep. the intersectionality of the whole thing. First time I've used that word.
Good
that
job.
Was a virgin
yes,
experience for me. Okay. So now, what are, do you already, each of you or Anne together, have concepts of what you're going to do and how you're going to bring it all together?
Yes, we do. We'll be bringing finished work into the gallery as well as some works that will be installed while the gallery is in that pre-week.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a nice kind of entrance too into another thought process behind the word fugitive. And that fugitive also relates to plastics in the environment and that nature of the fugitive leaching into our environment and mm-hmm. into ourselves as well. And I think all three of us think about that in our lives and have brought that into the artwork in our own way. But that's a cohesive thought behind the show.
And that, thank you, Dawn. Yeah. I'm like thinking about the fiber and I'm thinking about Margaret Teary. And that really was the idea of microplastics, the idea of the fugitive quality of these plastics as they're breaking down, moving around in our waterways.
So are there going to be, I know, for example, with Jessica, I've seen, and also with Dawn, with Jessica, I remember, I'll never forget, I mentioned it before, these cherry trees in the gallery, live trees or some kind. It was all of this. It was such a rich environment. And then Dawn's was non-living, who knows what's living and what's not these days, but stuff that you dragged out of the dump and put together, and some of it was huge. And so are you going to be bringing some actual, you just said you'll bring some finished work with you.
We've been walking waterways. We've been on both sides of the river, we've been collecting things. We've been picking up trash. We've been throwing away. We've been recycling. We've been bringing into the studio. And now these things are each with our own tool bag.
Right.
We are creating
wow.
some pre-made coming into the gallery, mm-hmm. some like myself, bringing in plant material, combining the microplastics that right. I was collecting before I started walking with mm-hmm. these women, combining things that like a 200-pound fishing net that Dawn and I wrestled up off of Smith Point together with a stretcher.
Yeah.
And so combining that for me personally with the green world, mm-hmm. Jessie bringing in her artworks that she's created mm-hmm. with the testing equipment, and Dawn doing her special brand of contraptions and amazing
so
conceptual pieces.
I have to, for the listening audience and perhaps for Jessica and Dawn as well. Jesse and I both know that Jessica carried some of her findings right in here to the studio because Jesse just pulled it out of her hair. And so
I also brought in a teasel, a medieval
right.
fiber plant that also appeared as a vagabond into my garden the year that Margaret Teary passed away.
Whoa. Yeah. So you have much of it. This isn't your only.
No.
Oh, good, because
no.
I want to keep this
okay,
one.
Okay, that's
thank
all
you.
Your.
It's a teasel teaser for
it's
the
a teaser.
Show.
Oh, dang, Dawn.
Folks, you got to see this because I put it down so it wouldn't start jumping all over me because this is
pokey.
An amazing plant. And then some hyssop, which has a very strong fragrance that could waft one away. So that's on the other side, too, before it takes me off.
Some rosemary.
And then there's the rosemary, which we always love. But so,
remembrance restarts. Yeah.
How did your individual work, or did it, change in some way or grow or learn from one another in working together as it's, because I'm hearing that each mm-hmm. of you actually worked alone, Jessie.
Yeah, I'd love to start with that
yeah.
because that's been a big part of this show for me. Because I have been working on these pieces for quite a while before Jessica contacted me and asked me if I wanted to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was the art pieces were really, it's almost all the lab equipment, but there were a few pieces that were, that I had found, but then working with Jessica and Don and walking with them and even paddling to find mm-hmm. trash in Young's Bay was one of the places where we went, for example, and incorporating that. And that has been a wonderful challenge for me, and my brain mm-hmm. to incorporate some found objects out in the waterways, some tossed trash into my pieces.
Nice.
So that, and that wasn't something that I expected to do with these pieces.
So I have a question for you. Have you, now you're a musician, I've known you as that, you've been right here in this room for, as doing your music, you've been on Troll Radio, etc. But did you consider yourself an artist before?
Let's get out of the binary, Carol. Let's stop with the labels, well, Carol. We're just three humans doing something.
I'm going to shut up. I'm bringing her mic down as we speak. Because that's exactly my point.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people out there who are making art, who are living art, but they would be, no, of course I'm not an artist, because they put the, with the big A, they put it up on the pedestal and figure, not me, I could never do that. I'm just, excuse me? So that's exactly why I'm asking whether at some point in your life you moved into that
Jessie's
world as
life
well.
Is art. What she's been doing for these past years and the recordings on these water packets, I mean, that is art.
Right, but I want to know, from Jessie's.
Sorry.
Advocate.
You got to be careful with Jessie.
It's because I'm the show with Teresa all the time. I never.
Yeah. Have you, because you're making art in your basement from stuff that nobody would consider art materials?
Well, I haven't considered myself an artist, but if I say that in front of friends and family, they would say, no, you are. Yeah. Because in my younger, I've been making collage pieces since I was in my early 20s.
Yeah.
I love creating art, but it hasn't ever been a profession per mm-hmm. se. Mm-hmm. But it is one of the ways that I express myself mm-hmm. musically. I write songs, I create. Mm-hmm. It's a healing thing for me mm-hmm. to do. Mm-hmm. Well, and it just seemed like the right step to take with all of this equipment that I was taking home. And it was causing me anxiety. And I had to do something
but
with
that's,
it.
You know, and that's the beauty, is that transition you're making. And I think that could inspire a lot of other people who are working in a world, a different world, and not realizing, oh, I see. I'm doing that too. Okay. So, and you're right, Jessica. It doesn't matter what you call yourself. It's what you are inside and how you do it. But it, coming together, I think, adds confidence. Dawn, did you feel that coming together with these two other people had changed what you would do? Can't shake your head
most
on the radio.
Most definitely, yes. I had found a sit-upon kayak, a 13-foot sit-upon kayak, washed ashore on the beach.
Whoa.
And had always wanted to do something with it, but not known what. And this invite to be a part of this group was the perfect opportunity for me to take this thing and turn it into something else.
Wow.
So that's what you'll see in this show, and has given me a platform in which to talk about stuff I care about.
So interesting, because you knew that this, you had to do something with it. It had potential, but you didn't have the way.
Yes.
And coming together brought that.
Yes.
Nice. And Jessica, obviously you're glad you did bring the other two in. Did it change you in any way?
Oh my gosh. I mean, though each of our work is individual work, having people to talk to, having people to, each of us sent ideas. I learned so much mm-hmm. from Dawn. I learned so much from Jessie. And being able to work as a group of honestly women
mm-hmm.
where we had to dialogue about things, and we had to find language and common language and bounce ideas off of each other and dispel shame culture and mm-hmm. really I'm thinking about a whole bunch of things in a different way. It was a really positive experience for me.
Wonderful. You know, we could have a whole nother hour
on,
well, just what you just led into, the idea of coming together on one premise and how many other things it opens up. However, it is.
We can talk about it at the opening.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay, please come to the opening. Oh, say, yes. There are
Let's be sure you know. This is Astoria Artwork. This weekend, okay, let's get this straight.
It's not this weekend.
No, this weekend is Gearhart and Seaside Art Walk. Don't get confused, as did some of our friends in Astoria. Next weekend, it's always second Saturday. It is from 5 till 8, and I bet if you stroll through and stroll by during the week, you will get to see some of what they're working on. But be sure to come to the opening, because that is so much fun. And my guests, see my guests and talk to them and enjoy.
And let's talk about the address for the AVA.
The AVA is 1010 Duane. It's right on the corner of 10th and Duane in that fabulous building, and it's all glass, so you can't miss it. That's Astoria, of course. And you have been listening to Dawn Stetzel, Jessica Schleif, Jesse Jones. Jesse Jones, Jessica Schleif, and Dawn Stetzel in that direction. Thank you so much for coming in. And congratulations. I can't wait to see what this is going to be. And it's not a huge gallery, so it is going to be packed full of beautiful stuff.
Can we also mention that, so the show will be going through October 6th.
Good.
And hours for the gallery are Thursdays 3 to 6, Friday and Saturday from 12 to 5, Sunday from 11 to 3, Sundays 11 to 3, or by special appointment. You can contact Rebecca Rubens at 503-440-3007.
Okay. And Astoria Visual Arts.
They
look
also
it up
have a website.
On the web.
On, yeah.
It's a great website, too. So, but come by the gallery. Even if you can't make the opening for some reason, do come by the gallery, because the show is going to be up. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Carol. Ooh, thank you.
Great. And thanks for my goodies over there.
Mm-hmm. We love you.
Wait, tell me again the name.
I got Teasel and Hyssop.
Teasel. How could I forget? Teasel and Hyssop.
Medieval fire.
It sounds like a couple of, domestic friends. Hey, got some music here for you from my next guest. And I've got a bunch of musicians coming in now. So stay tuned. KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook.
Or is the feeling really there? Could you need me? Is it true? I know it's love I'm feeling, but I don't know about you. All the words that you say, do they mean a thing? Or is it just what I wanna hear? What I wanna hear? Or let it go. It's keeping me on the edge. I'm waiting just to know. I'm going crazy. My body's shaking. I need a cure for this fever to stop my head from aching. All the words that you say, do they mean a thing? Or is it just what I want? What I want.
Well, I am sure that you are bopping around in your seat to this music, and I am going to let my guests tell you what this is. And that would be Clint Carter, the blues man, is here to talk about the Peninsula Rhythm and Blues Festival, the third annual, coming up September 13th and 14th. Yes, that's next weekend in Nakata. And I also have Jan Bono here as a backup and to tell us anything that we forget that's happening. So, welcome. And Clint, what were we just listening to?
Well, thanks for having us again, Carol. That is Matt Schofield. He's going to be our headliner for Saturday. He's a member of the British Blues Hall of Fame, and we're very, very delighted to have
him. Sounds terrific.
Oh, he's great. Yeah, he's phenomenal. So,
what do you mean when you say British Blues Hall of Fame?
Well, it's not unlike the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame we have here, only it's the whole blues genre in England. And so he's been inducted into that,
I think,
several different years.
Okay. So, but he lives here now.
He lives in America. I think he lives back east somewhere.
Okay.
This is his only West Coast appearance this year, so we're very, very fortunate.
Very nice.
Yes.
Very nice. So this is a two-day festival, and how is it going to work? I think you're starting at like 5 o'clock?
Right. We're going to start on Friday night, 5 o'clock or thereabouts. They might be a little bit later, but Franco Paletta and the Stingers with a couple of extra harmonica players, and we're calling it the Harp Attack. So they're going to they'll start the festival, and then North Coast Blues, those hacks, they'll be on next.
Excuse me, do you know anybody in that band?
I could know somebody in that band.
are you still playing music these days?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Not right now.
Uh-huh. I rest my case.
Yeah, not for a few weeks.
He's got a sling on his arm. That's right. Why I'm asking. So, okay.
And then finishing up on Friday is going to be Ty Curtis, who's a phenomenal player. So Saturday is going to start with Chris DeLane, then the Bayou Boys, and the Peninsula's prodigal son, Norman Sylvester, comes back to us. And then we're going to finish off with Matt Schofield.
Okay. So this... Tell me again the times on and exactly where is it in Nakata?
It's actually at the Port of Peninsula in Nakata, and there's an old oyster dredge that they've taken out of service and pulled up, and that's the stage. The boat was called the May West.
So. Oh, gosh.
Spelled incorrectly, but whatever.
Yeah, close enough.
And so there's a nice grassy area there. We've secured a grant for a 40-by-60-foot tent to cover the event, and the port also has one, so that's like 4,500 square feet of coverage.
Nice.
It's going to be, yeah.
And you're going to have stuff to eat and drink and be merry with as well.
You bet, yeah. We'll have some regional brews, some beer and wine. I've got 5 food vendors, I believe, anything from barbecue to fish and chips.
So. People could actually just spend the entire time there and get all their needs taken care of.
Absolutely, and I hope they do.
Okay. So, third annual that you have put together. Now,
correct.
There used to be a blues festival.
Right. It was Blues and Seafood. And
Blues
it was
and
in,
Seafood.
Yes, that was in the Owako, and we started that in 2008 up until, 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided to discontinue it, so I just picked up the...
Good job.
The gauntlet and took it north, and Ocean Park is delighted to get it, so I'm glad.
Is there a website or something where people can
absolutely
find it?
Absolutely. It's peninsulabluesfest.com.
Okay.
And we do have a Facebook presence. It's Peninsula R&B Festival.
Okay. peninsulabluesfest.com,
yes.
Or R&B Festival on Facebook. So is there a lot of R&B going on here in this area?
You know, there are some blues artists around, and the ones that are here are very, very good. It's a shame that there aren't more venues that promote the blues. And that's part of the reason that I want to do this festival and keep it going, is to keep the blues alive in this area, the North Coast and Southwest Washington. So but there are some quite talented blues artists in the area.
Yeah. So is your background always been in blues, or were you a folkie, or come on, fess up?
Well, I
or classical, or who knows?
No classical.
No.
No, I was Well, my dad was diehard country, you know, the,
oh,
the
okay.
50s and 60s, you know, the old swing mm-hmm. country that, mm-hmm. that and I still like that. And then, of course, when I was a teenager, I did the rock and roll thing, you know, and stuff. But I always gravitate back to the blues. And so here I am again. Just
well, good for you and good for us.
Full circle.
And
thank you.
Does the and the North Coast Blues Band plays
yes.
all year in
oh,
various
yeah.
venues?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We play around as much as we can.
Right.
Play around. Yeah.
Right.
play so, in different areas, yeah.
So I wrote down, I'm not sure where I got this, seven blues bands?
Seven.
You got seven
yes.
bands
yes.
coming.
Right.
And the festival goes from, and in one place I wrote 5 p.m., in another place I wrote 3 p.m. So what time does it start?
No,
on
actually,
Friday?
Doors open at 4 on Friday.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the first act goes about 5:15, 5:30.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
They're coming from Portland, so it
right.
might be delayed just a little bit, but
right.
But not a whole lot.
Yeah. But people can schmooze around and just
absolutely.
Get situated.
You bet.
And on Saturday?
And on Saturday, gates open at noon.
Ah.
And okay. it'll go till 10 p.m.
Okay. So oh, man, that's a nice long day.
It really is, yeah.
And you've got
yeah.
a cover in case it does.
Got it all covered. Tickets at tickettomato.com.
Tickettomato.com. I like it.
Yeah.
And this is over 21.
Yes, yes. Very important. Over 21 only.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm jotting these things down. Tickettomato.com. I don't think I'm familiar with that one. I like it.
They're great folks out of Portland there.
Good.
And they just do a marvelous job. In fact, I just have them come up and run the box office, and they do a marvelous
excellent.
Job.
So people can come at the door.
They can. Yeah. If you don't want to go there, then just come on. We'll take care of you.
Okay. Otherwise, they're going to just drive all the way up the peninsula.
Absolutely. Just go right up Sandridge Road all the way. It's about 12 miles from the Sandridge 101 cutoff.
Okay.
So just head up Sandridge about 12
no
miles
problem.
And you'll run right into it.
And stuff for it.
Yeah, 275th. Right.
And so, so Jan, let me ask you, though, how'd you get involved in this?
I came in through the back door.
Do you play music?
I do not.
You're a writer.
I am a writer.
We know that because you were on the show just
but
a few months
as
ago.
As it worked out, this spring I finished a book right exactly when Clint needed some help with fundraising.
I see.
And so I went out and started collecting the sponsorships and getting people involved
nice.
In the logos on the back of the T-shirt and these
it's
kind
a
of
nice
things.
Nice T-shirt.
It's
okay.
beautiful.
Yeah, aren't they pretty?
It's
who
a
designed?
Don Nisbett.
Oh, well,
of course
duh.
It is, yeah.
We will have these for sale at the event, too.
Yes.
Okay.
And a couple of things I wanted to mention, if I
yes.
may. One of the things is it's an outdoor concert, even yeah. though it's covered.
Yes.
So please dress for the weather.
Yes.
And you need to bring your own, like, camp chair. We'll put them in rows and things, or mm-hmm. you can space out wherever you want to. But it's really uncomfortable to sit on the ground for all that period of time. There are a few picnic tables, but not too many. You need to leave your pets at home,
mm-hmm.
unless it's a certified service
okay.
dog.
Okay. Right.
And it is over 21. And all outside food and drink is not allowed.
Okay.
So, and other than that, there is a dance floor.
Right.
And
what do you mean a dance
there
floor?
There is a dance floor.
Really?
The guys figured out yep. how to put together this
oh,
thing with
super.
Cam locks.
Nice.
And then it's painted and a little edge on it and everything.
Nice.
And there's going to be a place to boogie, and or you can just stand
that's
up and
great.
Boogie on the lawn.
And people can come and go.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, once you pay for the day.
They will have a wristband mm-hmm. that gets okay. them in and out for the whole weekend.
Excellent. Excellent. It's going to be a lot of fun. And again, nice that it's covered, so it doesn't matter what the weather is.
But exactly, yeah.
It's true, do dress. But basically, whether you dance or not, I've been to the Blues Festival. I don't think I've been to the R&B, but close enough.
Right,
and
right.
it was wonderful.
Well, the blues kind of just gets inside of you and eats its way around. It kind of absorbs you, and the feeling is so emotional and so soulful. Mm-hmm. I fell in love with it when I started listening.
Well, and that piece we just heard, and there's, of course, plenty more. We have a lot of programmers here who play blues.
Oh, yeah.
And rhythm and blues as well, sneaking into the jazz even. So Clint, how much of your time do you get to spend on music when you're not
when I'm not doing
bent
this.
up? When your arm isn't in a sling.
When my arm isn't in a sling.
Making music.
Well,
how much of your life is involved in music is what I'm wondering.
Well, just about. I mean, I work, you know, through the week, but. But when I get home, it's all about music. I'm always listening. I'm trying to, you know, pick up new songs that maybe the band can do, and it's all inclusive. It's
and the band there. Members. Can you name them or?
Well, North Coast Blues is kind of fluid.
Yeah.
I started this band with Richard Tomasian on the basis of having guest performers come in and stuff.
We call it And Friends.
And Friends. There you go. But for this go around, I'm going to have Bruce Smith, who will be playing guitar. Ron Barnes, fantastic sax and keyboardist. He's going to be with us. My buddy Don King's playing bass. He's with the Junior Cadillac band out of Seattle. He plays with. So, and then who else I got?
Dave.
And then Dave Gager. Yeah, Dave Gager's playing drums for me because obviously I can't play drums.
Right.
Clint will still be doing some of the vocals.
Yeah, I'll be doing some vocals. So.
Yeah. So well, and by next year, you'll be fine and dandy and ready to go.
That's the plan.
Right back
It's wonderful that you bring this to the community. Thank you so much for putting that effort in. And Jan, thanks for jumping on. And because, as we all know, all we volunteer folks, you can't do it without some funds. And so fundraising. And as a matter of fact, is that a segue or what? KMUN's fundraiser, our pledge drive, starts this Sunday. And a week from today, right at this very hour, I will be begging for bucks. So on the radio, though, you won't have to face me, but I will be asking you to call us and donate to this station. So if you're hearing about this R&B festival and say, whoa, what a terrific idea. How come I never heard of it before? Well, that's why you listen to KMUN.
That's it.
So you can hear Clinton and Jan tell us about the festival.
Can I give you these? Or?
Oh, well, why don't we do that? Why don't we do that after?
Okay,
I may have a gift for somebody next week. And that would still be in time for the weekend, so that would be terrific. So, okay, the third annual R&B Festival. And you said, when did the Blues Fest start? The original
was started in 2008.
The
Blues and Seafood event, yeah.
Okay, so that was 11 years ago. So we've been having these music fests on the peninsula for 11 years,
Absolutely.
Which is terrific. Yes. So, and it is next weekend, Friday, September 13th.
Be your lucky day.
That's
a
right.
Full moon.
Friday the 13th. Is it a full
it is,
moon?
Yeah.
Woohoo! Lots is going to be happening that day. Doors open at 4, music starts at 5. That's all ish, you know, that's how life
is. That's how we are here, right?
That's right.
And three bands Friday night and four bands on Saturday.
Four bands Saturday, and that opens at noon to 10, and it is 21 and over. And again, for information, peninsulabluesfest.com or R&B Fest on your Facebook, and Ticket Tomato, I like saying that, .com. You can get your tickets in advance, and then you won't even have to think about anything. So thank you so much for coming in. Most of all, thanks for doing this.
Absolutely. Thank
it's
you.
Wonderful, and a good healing to you.
Thank
Speedy
you.
Speedy healing to both of you, actually.
Well, thank you.
We won't go
it's
into all
you,
that.
Right.
Okay. And I do have some music from my last guests. I told you, lots of music in this second half. And stay tuned. KMUN Astoria, KTCB, Tillamook. Thank you. can you sit still to this music? This isn't even supposed to be dance music. I don't know what's going on. What are we? Wait, first let me introduce you to my last guests. I have in the studio Shelley Loring, Barker, Johnny Barker, and Paul Brady. And we're missing Todd Peterson. And Paul Brady is sitting in the chair that his partner vacated about 15 minutes ago. So we have one of those shows, people. It's organic, even though it's visual and music, but it's, you know, it's all moving around in that way. So they are here because they are going to be doing a benefit for the PAC. That's the Performing Arts Center, our wonderful Performing Arts Center in Astoria, 16th and Franklin. When do you think it's happening? Yep, it's happening on the 13th of September, which is, again, Friday the 13th. And I just learned that it's going to be a full moon, too.
Wow.
Yeah. So as you can see, next weekend is going to be wacko, but all fabulous stuff. They're doing, I'm going to just say it and then let them tell you what it is. Well, of course, Shelley is on flute. Mm-hmm. I say, of course, because, of course. if you live here, you know that.
Oh.
And Johnny, who happens to be her son, is on percussion. Mm-hmm. And Paul Brady is on piano. And Todd Peterson, of course, is on stand-up bass. So they are doing a classical jazz concert. I don't even really know what that means. So why don't you tell us, and how did this come about, Shelley?
Okay. I don't know exactly what that means either, except what you just played was a piece by Claude Bolling, which is called Suite for Flute and Jazz Piano Trio. And he actually wrote one back in the 70s. This one I think he wrote then too. But the first one was fairly popular, and I think it's a little more familiar than this one.
And this was wonderful.
Yeah, and we just love this one. I kind of discovered it and thought, oh, we got to learn this. Yeah. And it is a bit more difficult than the first one. But anyway.
And we should mention that was Claude Bolling on piano and Jean-Pierre Rampal on the flute.
Right. Yeah.
Well, good.
The idea is that it was for like a classical flute with jazz piano trio. And
a jazz piano trio would be?
Piano, bass, and drums.
Okay, that's what we've got. That's what this CD has, and that's what we've got happening.
So, but that's just the second half of the concert. The first half is more, wouldn't you say?
Standard jazz.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just classics.
Okay, so Johnny, if you don't mind my asking, how old are you?
I'm 19.
Okay, tell us what jazz is. When you say it's just, you know, jazz, what does that mean to you?
What does jazz mean to me?
Well, what do you mean when you call something jazz versus classical jazz?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, a lot of things can be jazz, but the difference I'd generally say is there's a lot of improvising in jazz and, instrumentation is a lot different in jazz, and you know, there's smaller instrumentation in jazz a lot, but you know, they're so I'd say those things when I mean jazz. And
would you be improvising on Friday night?
I think we'll all be improvising at some point or another.
Not on the bowling so much.
Okay.
A little bit.
A little bit.
I got a little
a little bit for the piano and the bass. And even the drum maybe has a little
here
bit.
And there.
Yeah, here and there. Not for the flute, though. Pretty much on the bowling, I think he... Yeah. Wrote out what
I might
wanted.
Even be improvising by accident on the bowling. A little bit.
I definitely will be doing on the bowling.
But, yeah, we can all relate. That's actually what that's not why I asked you, but when I asked you, I remembered sometimes people say, well, you know, jazz is when you make a mistake, you just make it again, and that's it.
Turn it into something good.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Turn it into something that makes sense.
But now you've been doing percussion. Did you start in school?
Yeah, I mean, kind of. I remember my first time I think picking up sticks and playing drums was with Olaf Yidsti. He's our next door neighbor, and I remember just going over there and like listening to them, you know, him and Luke jamming out, mm-hmm. and being super interested in it. And then I asked him if he could teach me a little bit, and he did. And
how old were you?
I don't know.
I think about 7 or 8.
Yeah, really young.
Yeah. Well, because I've known you since before you were born, and I don't remember you playing sticks in your mom's belly, but I've seen you with them for so long. And often with the North Coast Symphonic Band, with like this huge entourage of drums too.
Oh, yes.
And so what are you going to be doing? What kind of drums are you doing next week? Are you going to have a whole big set?
Yeah, well, it's a pretty small set. It's my set. Okay. It's pretty small. I think it's a 5-piece. Mm-hmm. And then I got just little, you know, bits and bobs on the side. I got some wind chimes. I'm using just some different mallets and stuff. I'll be playing marimba. You might even hear some tambourine.
Oh, right. That's my instrument. Are you playing washboard, too?
Not this time.
That's my other instrument. Okay, just checking. So, and Paul, I've seen you play piano, and as a matter of fact, I mentioned to Jesse the bossa nova music guys play. And Paul is unusual in this room because we're not really sure. He may actually have been a radio virgin when he walked in the room. We're not.
Well, at least for here.
We're not sure. KMUN virgin. Yeah. There you go. But he. None of them are anymore. That's it. That's done with. But you've been playing all kinds of piano forever, or what?
I started off on piano. My first instrument was actually a Hammond organ, one of those kind that you find in the mall that have the built-in cassette tape player, you know, back in the 70s. And that didn't keep my attention for very long. So I didn't really start piano until I was about 14.
Oh.
It's kind of a late starter in the piano world.
Mm-hmm.
And... I ended up really falling in love with piano and playing it quite a bit. Got a degree in college with it, but then took a break from it after that and got into guitar and other instruments just to kind of expand my horizons a bit. And yeah, it was actually coming back here that was a big, moving to Astoria, that was what really got me into piano again, because there was an opportunity to teach here. Yeah. And so I've been teaching for the last just over 5 years at the Astoria Conservatory of Music.
Oh, okay, nice.
And that's kind of inspired me to build up my chops again and get a lot more music.
I think the number of groups here, too, attract a lot of new musicians, which is very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Johnny, you play various kinds of music as well.
Yeah.
Do you do any... like rock and roll-y type stuff?
A lot when I'm with my friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
I started today's show with Blind Pilot, as a matter of fact. Speaking of the Itsties. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And Shelley, you're the one of our, we have some incredible flute players in this town. And you, though, play with large groups, and then you also often play right here over at the bistro.
Yes, I play once a month with Todd Peterson and Dave Drury on guitar, and we are Equinox when it's the three of us. And Todd and Dave are there every Thursday, and then I join them on the little plug, the last Thursday of the month.
Okay. But you haven't always done jazz either.
Well, no, I've thought about how I actually, when I was in my early 20s, I got interested in playing jazz, and I grew up hearing it.
I know.
And a lot.
I know your
father. My family, with my parents, and then also my oldest brother David was really loved the sort of bossa nova jazz, the Brazilian jazz. And he played that a lot, and I always loved that music listening. But then I met some people when I was in my early 20s who were, they were around my age, but really good jazz players, and they took me under their wing, and we played together in Fresno, California, where I grew up. And but then when I went to music school, college for music, I really focused on classical. And so I always kept listening to jazz, but I didn't really keep it up that much. And then I had the really wonderful opportunity very briefly to take a couple lessons from Hubert Laws, which was like amazing. But then I got back into jazz again, really through Dave.
Drury.
About 10 years ago or so.
So do you play, I know you all read music, but do you play by ear as well?
Yeah. Well, with jazz, you play, you improvise.
Yeah. You would have to, I'm thinking, because you're listening to each other.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
a huge part.
That's part.
Yeah,
of the,
and really jazz, yeah. you know, it really is an improvisational art.
Yeah.
That's really probably what makes it
Which
jazz.
Which is what life is. So yes. I figure it is really at the core. Quick question, Johnny, what are you doing in college? Are you doing music in
yeah,
college?
Yeah, I'm studying percussion. I'm going to do jazz band and just continue my studies, you know, with the general music courses mm-hmm. and stuff.
Great.
And I think eventually get a degree in music education.
Good.
That's what I'm going
so,
for.
You know, I have many musicians come in and they're of different minds. Some say, I'm glad I never went to college, period, or mm-hmm. for music, period. The arts too, visual arts too. And then there are others who say, oh, my God, it just opened, you know, it opened so many doors because I learned new stuff. It didn't,
yeah.
you know, I had to have it in my heart first. But
yeah.
And it sounds like all three of you had that experience, too. Mm-hmm. In 25 words or less, Shelley, how did this, it's called Between Friends, by the way.
Yeah.
Even though we know it's not grammatically correct, but don't worry about it, folks. Between Friends
yeah.
and Family.
And
so that's Shelley, Loring Barker, Johnny Barker, Paul Brady, my three guests, and Todd Peterson. This is all happening Friday the 13th. What time?
7:30
at the Performing Arts Center. That's 16th and Franklin in Astoria. And how did it happen?
Well, the Between Friends, actually, one of the bowling pieces is called Entre Amis, which means between friends.
Okay.
And I thought, well, we're all friends, and of course, mother and son. But,
yes. Mm-hmm.
And then Friends of the Pack,
right.
to benefit
Good.
For the pack.
Good.
That's kind of how the title you know,
nice.
Came up.
Nice.
Came up with.
Well, and thank you for making this a benefit for the pack, because the pack, the Performing Arts Center, is a wonderful facility, needs all the support it can get, as, one more plug, does KMUN. Which starts its pledge drive on Sunday. Call me next week during this show, not me, call the station and make a pledge. Show your support for the arts and for what you can get out of this show. Thank you so much for coming in, you three. I want to, before you, I'm going to let you be quiet for a minute while I just tell folks, but don't go away, what else is happening in this world. Astor Street Opry Company, one more weekend after this. Bay City Arts Center, 5 to 7, two-night art opening for April Peterson. Sedona Fire Band is at the Blue Heron for the 40th anniversary. Manzanita Lighthouse has the Bob Marley tribute band. And the Hoffman, you've been hearing it all week, because I put it there, ballads, blues ballads, and jungle healing with David Rubin. Tomorrow, Special Olympics Car Wash from 10 to 4 on Highway 101. Art Walk in Gearhart, 2 to 5. Seaside, 5 to 7. Lots of fabulous art. Hoffman Gallery is having four artists from 1 to 5. And the Southwester is featuring Noah Kite. I played his music on Tuesday. Astoria Library has a wonderful concert with Adam Miller, 7 o'clock, Folk Songs of the American Labor Movement. It's a sing-along. Seaside Historical Museum is the Salt Makers. The Sunset Empire Parks and Rec have a Whole Spirit Drum Circle. Sand Dune in Manzanita, McDougal is playing.